Daf is Daf Yud Tes. We got to the last three lines of Yud Ches. I mean, Beis, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah that Cholitz v'Cholitzin, that it came, this is referring to the Kohen Gadol, that he could perform Chalitza on a sister-in-law, and Chalitza could be performed on his wife, his widow. But Yibum, he's not allowed to perform Yibum. The reason is because a Kohen Gadol is Aser to marry a Almana, so by definition, the case of Yibum is an Almana, so it's Aser. So the Gemara says in the bottom of Yud Ches Mabez again, Kapasik Vatani, the Mishnah says just a psak, there is no distinction. Loshna minha erisin, loshna minha nesun. It doesn't make a difference whether or not his sister in law was married to his husband, or rather married to the Kohen Gadol's brother, or only engaged to the brother. Either way, if she's a widow, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to perform Yibum with her because she's an Amana. So Bishma min Nesu'in, I understand if she's from the Nesu'in why he cannot do Yibum with the sister-in-law. Because Havi Asei V'lo Sasei. And it's an Asei V'lo Sasei. What's the Asei V'lo Sasei? Rashi quotes it, I assume. Rashi in the bottom here says, Basula Yikach, he has to marry a Basula Dafkin. She's not a Basula because she's a Nesu'in. That means there was Kedush, there was a Bia. She's not a Basula. And then there's Amana Lo Yikach, and also a Lav, that he cannot marry Amana. So there's an Asei V'lav. And the Ein Asei, the Asei of Yibum, that the Kohen Gadol is going to perform Yibum, is the Ein of Ein Asei Doche Lo Sasei V'Asei. An Asei K'Doche E Lo Sasei. But if it's a Lo Sasei plus an Asei, that he's marrying an Almana plus a non-Besula, that's an Asei V'Lo Sasei, that Yibum is not able to be Doche. So that's only true if she had been married with Nesu'in, with her husband, and then the husband died, so now she's an Almana from a Nesu'in. That's why the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibum with her. But if she was only engaged to the Kohen Gadol's brother, and the Kohen Gadol's brother dies from only after Erisin, so there's never a Bia, so she still is a Basula. So then the only lav is that she's an Almana though. So you can't marry her out being an Almana, but she is a Basula. Amai. Yavo Asei, let the Asei of Yibum, Yidcha the Los Asei, of not marrying a Almana. Asei Docha Los Asei. So the Gemara says, you're right, Tak, it's true, he'd be allowed to, but they made a gzeira, Bia Rishona ought to be a Shnia. Problem is, Bia Rishona, it makes sense, because now she, even though right now she's a Basula, but she has a Din of Almana, there's only a Lav in that case. But once it's a Bia Shnia, so now she's no longer considered a Basula, she's considered a Beula, so now it's a Lav of marrying a non-Basula, a Lav of an Almana, and a Basula, an Asei of no longer marrying a Basula. So I know you're all going to be bothered by this.
Yeah, but isn't it that the Asei of Yibum falls away after Bia Rishona?
You're right, that makes sense. The Asei falls away, so now she still is an Almana, and then there's no mitzvah of Yibum that's being doche the Asei of no longer being the Lava of Almana. That's
it's
the case.
It's a key mitzvah of Yibum.
The kiyum, during the first Bia Rishona, there's a kiyum mitzvah of Yibum, and that Yibum is able to docha the lav of Almana. The second time, there's no mitzvah of Yibum anymore, but she still has a shame Almana. And a Kohen Gadol can't be with an Almana, so after Bia Rishona, all the additional Bias will be Aser. She's an Almana.
Logically, there's no distinction between Almana, like a full-fledged Almana and Almana made from
Eris. Right, according to this, there's no difference, right? She's an Almana and Almana. Mara says now, Tani Nami Hachi, the Braisa says, Im Kidmu Ubalu Bia Rishona, Kanu, V'Asher L'Kaima B'Bia Shnia. And you see, the Braisa says, B'Dieved, if he did go ahead and perform Yibam, it's actually a good Kinyan, but he can't stay married, so he has to give her a get. Fine. Mara now says, Meislo Meis, if a Kohen Gadol's relative dies, so we had the whole discussion in the Mishnah that he follows her out this way and that way, the Mita this way, through the corners and going through the alleyways. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tana Rabbana Mina Mikdash Lo Yetzei. From the Mikdash one should not leave. What does that mean? Lo Yetzei Imahen, that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't go with them, Aval Yotei Hu Acharem, but he could go afterwards. He could follow the crowd, but he can't go mamish with the rest of the Chevra behind the Levaya. Okay, so how does this work? Hey Nichasin Vehe Niglin. They become, they turn the corner, and then he becomes, he follows behind them. He's always like one block behind them. Vahu nigla, hey nigla, vahu nichsa. They become revealed, and he becomes hidden in such a way where he's always staying one step behind them as they escort out the mita. So then the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Yotad Pesach. He goes all the way until the Pesach of Yushalayim. That was the Shita of Tanakama. But the Rabbi Huda felt that he can't even leave the base of Migdash. So Shapir Kamer Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda said a very good svara. He said a pasuk. The pasuk mina Migdash lo yetze. So how does the Tanakama allow them to leave the Migdash and go all the way to Yushalayim? It's against the pasuk. So Amal Rabbi Meir says, Ihachi, if Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk is really correct, that min hamikdash lo yetze, lebeiso nami lo, he should not be able to go to his own house ever. Means he's stuck in his base of mikdash forever, and at least during the period of Aninus and Avelus. That's certainly not true. So this pasuk can't be meant to be taken literally, min hamikdash lo yetze, because he could go home. Al-Hachi Gamar, the way the pasuk's meant is, min hamikdash lo yetze, mikdushasa lo yetze, means don't leave his kedusha. Of course he could leave the base of mikdash. How does he lose his kedusha if the kohen gadol becomes metamei meis? So that's losing kedusha. So there, that's the concern. The rabbanan say, since he's following in such a way where there's a hecker, it's going to remind him not to come close and touch the mita. No different than any other hecker. If two people are eating, one guy's having a bashami sandwich, another guy's having macaroni and cheese at the same table, so isn't there a concern they might share? So if there's some hecker in between, so then you're allowed to, that's going to remind you. If a husband and wife for a nida, so then there has to be a hecker, so they don't share food with each other, lest they come to do more. So here as well, if they're walking in such a way where there's a hecker, it will remind him not to violate this iser. Rabbi Yehuda, agam rira dilma mikre v'asi v'naga. No. Kohen Gadol is human, and through the bitterness and through the sadness of the mace, he might be overwhelmed by the avelus, and he might go ahead and just jump and touch the mita, and because of that, we're very concerned that it steps back. Now, I said on the Mishnah that, according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, this was an example of a siag deraisa, and I assume that this whole issur of min hamikdash lo yetze was a whole din deraisa. According to the Ramban actually says differently. Ramban writes in the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam that whenever it says Kemashin Emar, it's only a Dirabanan. So I'm looking back. Someone said this to me yesterday. This doesn't really work out well, though. Someone was saying that the Mishnah says Kemoshin Emar, but it doesn't say Kemoshin Emar, so that's not really true. Maybe I misunderstood. It says Mishum Shin Emar. The Ramban has this cloud. Whenever it says Kemoshin Emar, that means it's only Dirabanan. It's not really meant to be taken literally. I guess the person who was saying this was saying that Mishum Shin Emar is similar to Kemoshin Emar. It's like it says it's not really an Issa Deraisa, there's really an Asmachta Ba'alma.
But,
okay. We'll wait together, I guess. Okay. Fine. Certainly not my volume then. So the Gemara says, Kishu Menachem, when the Kohen Gadol is being Menachem, he's comforting other Avelim, Tanu Rabbanan, it says in the Braisa, Kishu Over, Beshur Lenachem Esachem, he's going through the line to be Menachem Avelim, mourners, Sganu Meshuach Sheavar V'Yemino, the Sganu is his assistant, his backup Kohen Gadol, and Meshuach Sheavar is a situation where, let's say, the active Kohen Gadol had a psul, or he was a tamei. So then you appointed another Kohen Gadol to replace him, and then when the initial Kohen Gadol became Tahor, so then the other Kohen Gadol becomes Meshuach Sheavar. He lost his status. So those two people, if there happens to be Meshuach Sheavar, and then there's a Skan, so those two are on his right. But the Rosh Beis Ad, Vavelim on his left, and he walks through the line in that way. Again, Rosh Beis Ad, Vavelim, V'chola Am, Mismol, there on his left. Uch Shehu Omed Beshura, U'misnachem Me'acherim. When he's standing in line and he's receiving Nechama from others, so then the Skan Miyamino of Rosh Beis Av V'chol Am, again Skan Miyamino, the Skan on his right side, but the Rosh Beis Av V'chol Am is smalo, and everyone else is on his left side. About Meshuach Shavar lo asigabe, but how come the Meshuach Shavar, the guy who replaced him momentarily for a week, now why is he not in the case when the Kohen Gadol is in Avel? Where'd he go when the Kohen Gadol was being Menachem others? The Meshuach Shavar was accompanying him. But now when the Kohen Gadol is receiving Nechama, he's not accompanying him. Why not? So Gemara says, my time, Chal Shadaita, the Kohen Gadol is going to have Chalisha Sadas if he sees the Meshuach Shavar next to him. Why? He's going to hold. The Kohen Gadol is going to think, Savar Kachadibi, that Meshuach Shavar is probably happy that I lost the relative. He's very happy that happened because, you know, he wants my position back. So therefore, this is the mental argument that's going on here. So we have this Meshuach Sheavar stays off to the side. So Amra Papa, Papa says, Shema Amina Me'av Masnisa Tlas. You learn three different halachas from this braisa. Shema Amina, Dehainu Skan, Hainu Memuna. That the Skan, the assistant, is also the Memuna. Who is the Memuna? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, where are we in Rashi? The Shema Amina, there we go. Kei Minag Tanchuma, that's the one I want. The The Mishnah used a Lashon Mimuna, and the one who was appointed, and the Mishnah, the Gemara here, uses a Lashon Skan. So you see they're interchangeable. Skan is the assistant. The Mimuna is also the guy who's appointed, has certain requirements to do in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi doesn't explain what exactly he does. The Gemara's and Yuma discuss. I wonder if they bring what roles the Mimuna has.
When do they take over? Mishnah only takes over when he's becomes Tamei. When does the other guy take over?
No, now Mashiach Shavar, not sure. What's the Skan versus the Mashiach Shavar? What is Mashiach Shavar is now? The backup, seemingly. The Skan might be Skan plays a certain role, he's the assistant. One example comes up when the Kohen Gadol puts his two hands to do the Garalos for the Shnei Seirim on Yom HaKippurim. He picks up his hand and the Skan says to him, "Say your piece." So he has to say, "Lashem, Lasar, Lashem, Chatas," he says. So that's something that Skan would do. The Mashiach Shavar, I guess, wouldn't do that. Even though Mashiach Shavar might be the next backup, there is some role the Skan, an active role the Skan does play in his position of being Skan. Anyways, that's the first one. Whenever the word Skan and Mamun is being used, they're really interchangeable. That's the first halacha. Shmami, no, the second one is Avelim Omdim V'chol Am Ovrim. The Avelim stand stationary, and the Am passes by them. And Shmami, no, Avelim L'smol HaMenachmim Hein Omdim. The Avelim are standing to the left of the ones comforting. So Tanur Rabban, the Brisa says, Barishona, initially, how you Avelim Omdim, the Avelim would stand still. V'chol Am Ovrim, they'd all pass by and say, Makami Nachim, let's say. And they were fighting, no different than anything now. Two families would be fighting. Zosamaris Ani Overis Ptchila. Zosamaris Ani Overis Ptchila. I'm more chashiv, we should go before you. He said, no, we're more chashiv, we should go before you. So they got into a whole fight during this Shiva. So what happened was, Hitzkinu Shehu Ha'am Omdim Va'Avelim Ovrim. They said, you know what? Now, for now on, the Avelim are going to pass by, and all the Am are going to just stand stationary as the Avelim walk through, is what we, which is what we do at the Beis Kvaros. We set up two lines, and the Avelim walk through, Avelim are over. Gemara now quotes a mnemonic, Chazer v'halach v'sipur. There's going to be a few different situations where things have changed, it's different takanas that they made. So Amar Rami bar Abba Hichzir, Rebbe Yosi et Hadavar Liyoshna, b'tzipare, sheyu Avelim omdim v'chol Am overim. Rabbi Yossi had returned matters to the way it initially was in Sipori. I guess he felt in Sipori they had very good midos there. So he said, now we're going to put it the way it's supposed to be, that the Avelim are standing, and it's the An that passes in front of the Avelim. This was not taken upon anywhere else, I don't think. Amar Rami bar Abba Hiskin Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi made it another Kana. A woman shouldn't walk and her child behind her because something terrible that once happened. What happened? Look at Rashi, halfway down Rashi. They stole her, they kidnapped her son and put him into a house. She turned around, she saw her son was not there, was very obviously nervous, she was freaking out. She started to scream and cry. So one of these guys says, oh, don't worry, Amar, I'll show you where he is. He's right here, follow me. And what happened was, they took advantage of her. They followed, she followed this man, and he violated her. So because of the Ma'aseh Shehayah, always keep your children in front of her. And the third statement here is, back to the Gemara, last three, four narrow lines of the Amud here. Amar Rami bar Abba Hiskin Rabbi Yossi B'tzipori Sheyihu Noshim Misapros B'beis HaKisei Mishim Yichud. That women should talk in the bathroom. I think this is still practiced, to talk in the bathroom, because their bathrooms used to be out in the field. It was dangerous for them. So they talk to people. They talk a lot. They talk loud. It sounds like maybe there are 15 ladies that are in there. It's going to scare any men that might be out there of any concerns of Yichud. The Gemara now says, Amar Rab Menashe bar Avas She'elas as Rabbi Yoshi Rabba. I asked the following question to Rabbi Yoshi Rabba. The base Alamim de Hutal, the base Olamim, which is the base Kfaros of Hutal, Vamrli, that's where we were at the time. They were in a cemetery going to Kivir Tzadikim, let's say. Vamrli, and he said to me, Ein Shura Pchusa Mi'asar Bani Adam. The Shura has to have at least 10 people. Vein Avelim in Aminyan, you cannot count the Avelim as part of the 10. Regardless of whether you have the practice of the Avelim standing or the Avelim passing through, either way, you can never count the Avelim part of them. You need 10 people aside from the Avelim. So then Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Chshum Nachem, when he receives the Nechama. So the Gemara asks, Ki Menachem Hu Acharini Hechi Amar. When he's Menachem others, what should he be saying to the other Avelim? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Vahu Omer Tisnachemu, that he said, you should be comforted. So what's the context? Vahu Omer Tisnachemu? If it's when people are coming to Menachem him, and he says to him, Amar lehu, ihu tisnachemu, you guys should also be comforted. Nachsha karami lehu, is he giving them a curse? What do they need to be comforted about? They're not Avelim. So people come visit him, you don't say, Amak Menachem ischem to the Menachem, you're giving them a call that they should also receive Nechama when they have a death in the family. So it's obviously not when he's sitting Avelis. Ella must be, Ki Menachem lachrini, when the Kohen Gadol comes to comfort others, Amalu, he says to them, Tisnachmu, he says, you should be comforted. And that's it. Shma Mina. Okay, the Gemara now says, Melech Ladan, the Melech is allowed to judge, nor could you judge the king. So Amar of Yosef, Lo Shano Elo Malchei Yisrael. This is only true of a king of the Yisrael. Aba Malchei Beis David, from the line of Beis David, Dan v'dan so you actually, they can judge, and you can judge them. Dichsev, the Pasuk says, this appears in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says, Beis David, Ko Amar Hashem, Dino Laboker Mishpat. That the Beis David could judge. Now, Elo Dainin Lei, if you can judge Beis David, Malchei Beis David, Inu Heichedaine, how could they be judges? We said that Haksiv Hiskoshu Vihokoshu, which means Amrish Lakish, Kashit Atmecha Vachaka Kashachem. First get yourself judged, first adorn yourself, clean yourself, and only then could you judge others. So whenever we have a heter, someone being judging, he must be able to be judged on his own right. So the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says that Ko Amar David, based David, Ko Amar Hashem, he could judge. Dino Laboka Mishpat tells us he could also be judged. So if that's the case, so El Malchib Yisrael, my time alone. So why can't Malchus Beis Yisrael? Why is there any difference between Malchus Beis David and Malchus Beis Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Mishum Maisa Shehaya, because the following Maisa, De Avdia De Yanai Malka Katel Nafshe, the Eved of Yanai Melch killed someone. And Amar Lehu Shuma Ben Shetach LeChachamim, he says to the Chachamim, Tenuei Nechem Bo, you should place your eyes upon him, Yanai the king. You have to judge the master of the Eved. V'nidone, and you have to judge Yanai Melch. This is, he's responsible. His Eved killed someone. So Shalchulei Abdecha Katu Nafshe, they sent a message to Yanai Melech that your Eved killed someone, Shadruluhu. So he sent to them, Shalchuli, you come to me? To Anat Nami Lacha, you come here. Why am I going to you? You come to me. So Vahu Adli Babal of Amar Torah, so that you have to judge in front of the master. The master of the Eved is Yanai Melech. Yavo Bahashur Vyamud Al Shoro. The Bahashur has to come to stand over his shore, to stand over his Eved. Fine. So he agreed. Yosef, Yanai Melech came, and he came to watch this event of his Eved being judged. Amar lo Shimon ben Shetach said to Yanai Melech, Amar al raglecha v'yaidu becha. Stand up, and they're going to testify about you. V'lo lefaneinu ata omed. You're not standing in front of us, the Dayanim here. El lefaneinu misha amar v'aya olam ata omed. You're standing in front of Hashem. It's a din d'oraisa. Pasuk says, Shnemar, v'amdu shnei anashim asher lehem ariv. Two people who are fighting. You have to stand up. So stand up now. So Amr lo, so Yanai Melech says to him, lo kishetomer ata, not like what you're saying, ela kamoshi amru chaverecha, your friends. And they point out that Yanai Melech and Shimon ben Shetach were relatives. So Shimon ben Shetach couldn't sit on the bezdin here. He was just officiating, telling them what to say, what to do. So he says, I don't have to listen to you, Yanai Melech, you're not a dying here. When they tell me to stand up, I'll stand up. So what happens? So Nifna, Shimon ben Shetach turned his way, Liamino turned his right, and Kavshu, Pinei and Bekarka, they looked away. They were scared. They're scared of Yanai Melech. Nifnu l'smel, he turned to the Dayanim on his left. V'kavshu p'nei makarki, they looked down also, they were embarrassed. Amar Lehem, he says to them, Shimon b'Shetach says to them, Bali machshavos, you guys are Bali machshavos. What's a Bali machshava? A guy who just doesn't know what's going on. He thinks he's up in the sky, up in the ground, he's not paying attention. You guys are like Bali machshavos, just in lost in thought. So he says, Atem, Yavo Bali machshavos, namely a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the one who is the owner of all thoughts, V'yifra mechem, and he should take punishment from you guys. And Miyad Bagavriel the Chavatim Bekarka Gavriel Melch Hamalch came down and he squashed him into the ground. Umeisu they died. The Osa Shah at that time they made a Gzeirim Amru Melch Ladan Vlodanaso Lomei Vle Meidinaso. Because that would happen, a king could never be judged or judged because of that event. It happened. So how is the difference? How does that explain Malchus Beis Yisrael versus Malchus Beis David? So this should happen. This should be a din that applies to all types of kings. So the answer is that whenever you have a gzera because of a certain Maisa Shahaya, the gzera is only exactly the way the Maisa Shahaya was. Maisa Shahaya was with a Malchus Beis Yisrael, so therefore the gzera only applies to Malchus Beis Yisrael, but it doesn't apply to Malchus Beis David, even though the svara would seemingly apply. A gzeras are very, very, very narrow. Okay, there's interesting tosas on an Aleph here, but there's a long daf here. I don't know if we should go through it or not. It's fascinating tosas as to why you say that should we do it? It's really good. Let's do it. Are you guys okay doing it? No, let's go by it. Let's finish the daf, and if we have time afterwards, we'll see it afterwards. Let's go by it. Gemara says, six line down, the two dots. V'lo chalit, v'lo chaltzin, v'chulei. The king can't do chalitza, nor can one do chalitza for his wife. Any of this is really true. V'homer Rav Ashi, afilu l'man damar nasi shemachal kvoda kvoda machal, melach shemachal kvoda ein kvoda machal. Shinemar som tatsim alecha melach, shetei emach alecha. So what's the question? The question is, is it really true? Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah that if the Melech wants, the Melech is able to do Chalitza and the Yibum. Even though it seems beneath him to do such a thing, to marry someone else's wife, he's allowed to. But how could that be? Rav Ashi says, a Nasi can be Moch on his Kavod, but a Melech can never be Moch on his Kavod. So how could the Melech be Moch and say, okay, I'll do Yibum or I'll do Chalitza? That's beneath him. The Pasuk says, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, that even the Melech, is mochel, you as a tzibur have to continue to be shetei amas alecha. You have to continue to give him honor. And you can't, there's no such thing as ever being mochel on his honor. There's a whole big discussion we showed him how to understand this drasha, but it's clear from the drasha is that he cannot be mochel on his kavod. So the Gemara answers, well, it's different when mitzvah shining. It comes performing a mitzvah of whether it's yibum or chalitza, so in that case, he is able to be mochel on his kavod. When it comes to no mitzvah, just out of context, just stop being mochel, that's where we say, som tesim alecha melecha, melech shetei emaso alecha, has to be li'olam, that there's always going to be kavod for the king. Tosfos asks mitzvah shiny here on the page. If the Gemara in Ksubas talks about there's a king and a kala, chasen kala, meeting at crossroads at Parshas Drachim, and why don't they give the answer? The mishane Parshas Drachim havi v'amai lo mishane mitzvah shiny. So why don't they say it's a situation where the mitzvah is different, that the king is not able to be mochel on his kavod there? Why not say for the mitzvah of showing kavod to the kala, maybe he should be mochel on his kavod? The Gemara says, "V'yesh lomar dehasim ein mitzvah ki mishvil kvoda chasim akala v'kvoda melech adif." There's no mitzvah of showing. There's no mitzvah of chasim akala. The mitzvah is kavod. So now it's kavod chasim akala versus the kavod of a melech. Those two, the kavod of a king is greater than the kavod of a chasim akala. There's no special mitzvah here. It's not a kavod versus kavod. Yibum is a mitzvah. So mitzvah is docha kavod of a king. But the case of Ksubis is kavod versus kavod, not kavod versus mitzvah, and that's why you can't give the answer of a mitzvah shiny in the Gemara Ksubis. Gemara now says, "Ein nosin v'chule." The halach is once allowed to marry an almana of a king. In other words, you can't marry a queen, a widowed queen. You cannot marry. So Tanya Amru Lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thought that you are allowed to marry a. He brought a raya from David HaMelech. He married the widow of Shaul HaMelech. Exactly. Only a king can marry someone else's queen. So Tanya Amrilo, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Nashim Haruyas lo mi beis hamelech. So he said, what was the response back? That only someone who's fit to marry a king are they able to marry. So he brought a raya to the fact that when the Pasuk says that David HaMelech married people who were right him, he thought it meant people that were queens. But the way they understand it is not that they were marrying queens, rather what it means, my niu, who's roi to the Beis HaMelech, that refers to Meir v'Michal. He wasn't marrying the wives of Shaul, he was marrying the daughters of Shaul. That was the case. Those are roi to him, and those are of royalty. Royalty marries royalty. So Shalu Tamid Davis Rabbi Yossi, they asked Rabbi Yossi, Heyach Nasa David Shtei Achayos. See, how is he able to be Chayayin? How could he marry two sisters? Meir v'Michal were sisters, daughters of Shaul. He married them both in their lifetime. There's an Issa Deraisa to marry two sisters, similar to what Yaakov had done, and that the Ramban explains Yaakov was outside Eretz Yisrael. There's no mitzvahs outside Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the explanation is by Yaakov Avinu, that's called the Matan Torah. David HaMelech was certainly after Matan Torah, so how was he able to marry two sisters while they're both alive? So Amar Lehem, so he says, Michal Acher Mises Meirav Nasa. No. Rabbi Yossi explains that he only married Michal after Meirav died. First he married Meirav, she died, so then he married Michal after that. So the Gemara now says, that's Rabbi Yossi's answer. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha Omer, he says, no, Kedushei Tos Hayulo. The Meirav, there was actually a mistake. He never got married to Meirav. That was all a mistake. Why? What was the mistake? Shinemar, it says, Tana, it's Ishti es Michal Asherasti li b'mea arals plishim. So I married my wife Michal. Implied that only Michal was the wife, but Meirav wasn't a wife. What was the Ishti es Michal? Because he ended up getting 100 Aralos from the Plishtim as a form of payment. We'll see the conversation in just a second. So it was only Michal as opposed to Meirav, that whole conversation, that whole Kedushe was Taos with Meirav. So my Talmud, what's the Drasha? Amar Papa, Michal Ishti, Vil Meirav Ishti. I married Michal, but I didn't marry Meirav. That was all a mistake. He didn't marry both of them. So my Kedushe Taos, what was the mistake with Meirav? Didn't he first marry Meirav? The Pasuk says, Vayaha Ish Asher Yikenu Yakenu Yashrenu HaMelech Osher Gadol. So whoever kills Goliath, so I'm going to give him a great wealth. And the pasuk goes on to say, this appears in the pasuk in Shmuel, I'm going to I'm going to give him my daughter. So also Kale David Melch went and killed Goliath. Milva Islacha Gabai. So Shaul says, you're right, I owe you money. Problem is, a milva, mekadesh b'milva, ain't mekudeshes. I don't have to. No kedushin was chal. Because it's a loan that I owe you. And Milva in Mukadeshes. Also, Yav Li Adriel. We went ahead and took Meirav and married Meirav off to Adriel, not to David HaMelech. Dechsiv Ahib Eis Tas as Meirav Bashal to David. And when the time when he's supposed to give her to David, the pasuk goes on to explain here that he nitna La Adriel HaMecholasi Lisha. He ended up giving her to Adriel instead of to David HaMelech. So there's no Kedushin. So he's never married to Meirav. So Amr Leis, the Shaul says to David HaMelech, now, you want Michal? Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll make a new deal. Zil Aisi Le Mea Arelis Pelishim, go bring me 100 Arelos of Pelishim. And so he did. Azil Aisi Le, that's something substantial, that's not simply a loan, that's not a milva. So Azil, he went ahead and brought 100 of them. Amr Leis, Milva Pruta Islecha Gabai, you have a milva, I owe you something, but also it's a Pruta. And Shaul Savar, Milva Pruta Daita Milva. When a person gives a milva, and he also gives a pruta, you give me the pruta of all these 100 daralos, so the das is on the milva, not on the pruta. Pruta is a penny, who cares about the penny, the focus is on the milva. And since we say milva, mekadesh milva in a mekadeshes, Shaul felt that even in this case, there is no kedushin chal with michal. So then, but David Savar, no, milva pruta, daita pruta. When a person gives a milva, and he also gives a pruta, the focus is on the pruta, and that's why Paskin, so David felt that it was a good kedushin with Micha. That was the case here. He only married Michal, he never married Meirav. Ibai same alternatively, Chuliyama milva pruta daita pruta. Shaul was a Tanu Chacham. He knew that milva pruta, we Paskin, that a pruta, the focus is on the pruta, and it is a good kedushin. So how come in this case he didn't think that Michal is married to David? Because he says that Shal Savar Lochaziv Lomide. These Aralos of the Plishim is worth nothing. Who would want the foreskin of the Plishim? It's worthless. It's not even worth a penny. It's garbage. But David Savar Chaziv Lekalvi Vishunri. You could feed them to the dogs and to the cats. And therefore, there is some level of value, so it would be considered a good condition. So that was the debate between Shaul and David HaMelech. So now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yossi, who felt that he married both of them, first he married Meirav, then afterwards he married Michal. How can the pasuk says, give me my wife Michal, implying that Meirav wasn't his wife? Rabbi Yossi says that Meirav was also his wife, it was just she was his wife first. So what's the drush of es ishti es Michal? So Rabbi Yossi the Tane, Rabbi Yossi haya darish mikraos muravim. He was darshing psukim, and psukim had mixed together different concepts. He darshed them. He was darshed them. How is he darshed them? Ksiv it says, vayikach hamelech ashnei bnei ritzba bas aya asher yada yalda l'shol es armoni v'es mifu beshes. The king took the two sons of Ritzba, who were born to Shaul. The names are Amoni v'es mifu beshes. And Chameshes b'nei Michal, and the five children of Michal, asher yadol Adriel, that were married to Adriel, HaMecholasi. So Mar said, wait a second. V'chi l'Adriel nitna, v'alo l'Palti ben Laish nitna. Michal wasn't married to Adriel, Michal was married to Palti ben Laish. And who was married to Adriel? Meirav was married to Adriel. So how are they mixing together the sister, Mei Michal, to Adriel? That wasn't the relationship. So Gemara says, D'chsev, v'shal nasan es Michal bita asher David, Eishes David, Lepalti ben Laish. She gave Michal to Palti, not to Adriel. So they're saying Mu'urav in the Pesukim. Elamakish Kedushe Meirav LaAdriel, LeKedushe Michal LePalti. There's a Hekish. The marriage of Meirav to Adriel was very similar to the marriage of Michal to Palti. That's why we're combining these two marriages to showing the Hekish. Ma Kedusha Michal LePalti Bavera. Michal, who was a second sister, married to Palti, was Bavera because she already was married to David with the Pruta. So to Af Kedushe Meirav LaAdriel Bavera. So to Meirav's marriage to Adriel was also Bavera, because even though it was a milva, Rabbi Yossi felt that was considered a good marriage. Meirav was already married to David HaMelech. So then, what do you do? The pasuk of Es Ishti Michal, he doesn't address that. thought I saw it somewhere. If really Rabbi Yochi says that you have the drasha while Pesukim Amurav explained that really there's a hekesh between these two marriages, that one was Kedushay Taos, rather they're both a Kedushay Taos, that's fine. But what does he do with the pasuk of a Michal Ishti, which implies Lo Merv Ishti? Rabbi Yochi felt that they were both considered good wives.
Rabbi Yossi says that the names are interchangeable.
The fact that Michal Merav, those names are interchangeable. So when it says Michal Ishti, it also implies Merav Ishti. Very good. Now Rabbi Yishub ben Karcha, who said that he was only married to Michal, but not to Merav. So not Michal Ksivetz Chameshes B'nei Michal Bas Shaul, the five children of Michal, but they were really children of Merav. So how is he going to make the drasha of this pasuk? So Amlech Rabbi Yishua v'chi Michal Yalda, the Michal gave birth to these five sons, v'alo Merav Yalda. Merav Yalda u Micha Gidla. Yeah, you're right. Merav gave birth to them, but Micha actually raised them. Lefikach Nikra al Shema. Therefore, she was given the claim as mother. The Lamedcha to teach you a famous statement. Shekol Megado Yosem Besoch Beisam Ala Lavakasav Kilo Yalda. A person raises an orphan in their house. It's as if they raised them and gave birth to them. Morna quotes the similar ideas. Chanina Kra Yochanan Isha Alaza Gula Shmuel Bilimude Simon. That's the mnemonic for the next few discussions. So Rabbi Chanina says, Omer Mihacha, I've got a similar discussion. The pasuk says, Vatikrena lo hashchenos shem lemar yulad ben lenami, that the neighbors would call this child to Nami. V'chi Nami Yalda, was Nami the mother of this child? V'hala Rus Yalda, Rus gave birth to the child. El Rus Yalda, Rus gave birth to her, him, Benami Gidla, but Nami raised the child, and Lefikach Nikra Al Shema, Nami was given credit as the mother, since she had raised him. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mehacha, another pasuk, V'isha Yehudis Yalda as Yered Avigdor. That Isha Yehudis, referring to Basia, had given birth to Yered Avigdor, which are names of Moshe Benu, that she gave birth to Moshe Benu. Elu B'nei Basia Bas Paro, these are the children of Basia. Asher Lokach Mered Zekelev, a Kalev rather, Kalev was her husband, V'lama Nikra Shmo Mered, Shem Mered Ba'atas Meraglim, because he had he rebelled against the advice, the counsel of the Meraglim. So now the Gemara asks, V'chi Basia Yalda, Basia gave birth to Moshe Benu, to Avigdor, V'alo Yocheved Yalda, Yocheved was the mother of Moshe, V'alo Yocheved Yalda, but Basia Gidla, L'fikach, since Basia raised her, him, Nikra Al Shema, Moshe is called based on Basia's name. Rabbi Elazar Amar Mihach, another pasuk says, Gal to Bezra Amcha B'nei Yaakov, you had redeemed the nation of B'nei Yaakov with Ezra, with a great hand, V'yosef Selah. So, V'chi Yosef Yalad, Yosef gave birth to the B'nai Yaakov? He was one of the B'nai Yaakov. Hello, Yaakov Yalad. Yaakov was the father, not Yosef. El Yaakov Yalad, but Yosef Kilkel, Yosef didn't quite raise, but he supported the B'nai Yaakov, and Lefikach Nikru Al Shmo, they refer to B'nai Yaakov V'Yosef. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Melamed Ben Chaveir Torah, Ma'ala Alav Akasuv Kilo Yalad, a person who teaches a child Torah, it's as if he raised and gave birth to such a child. The Shinemar, it says, V'Elo Tol, this Aaron and Moshe, these are the children of Aaron and of Moshe. Because if Elish Mos Ben Aaron, it goes on to list the children of Aaron. So Lomar L'cha to tell me that even though Moshe didn't, of course, it wasn't the father of Aaron's children, but he taught them. So Aaron Yalad Moshe Limed, Moshe taught them. L'fikach Nikru Al Shmo. So Moshe was given credit as being the father of Aaron's children as well. L'chein Ko Amar Hashem El Beis Yaakov Asher Padez Avram. That it says to Hashem said to Yaakov that you redeemed from Avram. V'chi Heichan Matzina B'Yaakov Shepadel Avram. Where do you find such a redemption of Yaakov and Avram? What's going on here? So Amar of Yehuda Shepadal Mitzar Gidabanim, that Yaakov spared Avram, redeemed Avram from having to go through that tsar raising the 12 children. Yaakov took that upon himself. That's what means Pado as Avram. V'hainu Dichsev, that's what it means. La'ata Yevosh Yaakov. Yaakov won't be embarrassed. La'ata Yevosh Yaakov Mi'aviv. La'ata Panav Yechvaru Mi'aviv. He's not going to be embarrassed from his father Yitzchak, nor from his grandfather Avram, which somehow is a reference, as Rashi explained here. How this somehow is a reference to his responsibility of being the Tsar Gidul Banim. Right, I guess the fact, I'm not sure what the theoretical embarrassment would be, but I guess Yaakov maybe being young, he might be embarrassed from his father and grandfather. So
the generations get weaker, so uh-huh. How could Yaakov be in the same place with Avraham?
I guess, but since he had the target at the bottom, that really put him in a high pedestal. Look at the machlokas Rashi tells us. Fascinating discussion here. Rashi says Shepado Bitzar Gidol Banim. He explained Shehut Alav Torah Hashvatim. He had the tremendous effort of having to raise the Shvatim. Shal Avram Hayamut Alaso Torah. Really, Avram should have had this Tircha, as it says Virbesi Azarach Avu Pado. But Yaakov redeemed him and took the burden. So look at Tosa. Tosa says Perish Kuntres Gidol Yudbei Shvatim. The raising of the 12 Shvatim. Balon Hira doesn't make sense to me. Chada, number one, is the Ein Tsar El Simcha. It's not painful raising children, it's a tremendous Simcha. Kedamrinan Gavi Oved Edom Shebarcha Hashem Bibanim Bisharha Aron Shaya Bebesav to Simcha. The Ode Avram Hayela Banim Miktura. He had a children, Avram also had other children raising. Meaning, it's not like from Rashi, just 12 kids are a lot of kids to raise, that's all. So he says it's not true. Having a lot of kids is a tremendous simcha, says Tosfos. What's the Tzar Gidol Banim? It's not a general Tzar of Gidol Banim. It was Dafka by Yaakov, Tzar Chlomar, Tzar Shel Yosef, Ochev, Gilgal, Yeridas Mitzrayim. It's not having 12 kids, about the particulars that they had, the events of Yosef and the brothers. So when I learned this many years ago in NYU, I wanted to know what is machlokas between Tosfos and Rashi, whether raising children is considered Tzar or simcha. What's like the Nekudas machlokas? So I asked Rav Shechter said, I don't know, I always assumed there was a tremendous simcha raising children. So then I asked Rav Wulig, and Rav Wulig says, Rav Shechter always says it's a great simcha raising children. So I never got a good answer. What the machlok is, whether it's a tzar or whether it's a simcha raising children. Obviously, each case is different. It depends really on your perspective. But it's a fascinating discussion. Sorry. What? Tzar? Okay. Okay, should we go weiter here, or?
Well, it's a tzar when you have to leave the shir to go and do
coffee. Well, that's true. Right, certainly Sundays, right. Let's go a little further, unless you guys need to go. Just try to get to the bottom here. Gemara quotes now, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Palti, Ksiv Paltiel. What was his name? Was it Palti or Paltiel? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Palti, remember, Paltiel was the one who was married Bavera to Michal. So it says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Palti Shemo, that was his real name. So Lama Nikra Shemo Paltiel, Shepaltu Kael Min Havera. So that Palti was saved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him from an Avera. How? Ma'asa? Not Cherev Beino Leveina. So Palti took a Cherev, a sword, and placed it between him and Michal. Remember, Shaul married Michal off to Paltiel, but it was Bavera. And Palti understood it was Bavera. So he put a sword between them, even though they lived together and had a relationship. They were never with each other, but B'tashmish, he had a Cherev. So Amar, he says, Kol Oseik B'davar Zeh Yidakir B'Cherev Zeh. He says, anyone who's Oseik in this Indian, if we're going to be involved in Tashmish, this sword will kill us. So Haksiv Vayelcha Ata Isha Shinasala Vata Isha. But doesn't the Pasuk say that he went to her like her husband, like her wife? So he says, no, Nasalak Isha. They were like husband and wife, but they weren't really husband and wife. That the Rashi explains Shahaya Megala Umechava, he would raise her and be Mechavev to her and very dearing to her, but they wouldn't have any Tashmish. Haksiv, doesn't it say Halachu Bacha, when finally Michal left, went to David HaMelech, he started to cry. So what he was crying, certainly seemed like they were crying because they were married to each other. Fascinating answer. The Gemara says, Al mitzvah da'azul minei. He's losing out on the mitzvah. He had a mitzvah by living with her and never being with her. That was a tremendous self-control that he had. And the mission, Mako says, when a person has an opportunity for an Avera and doesn't do the Avera, that's a tremendous mitzvah. So he's living all, I'm not sure how long this was, but whatever, weeks, months, years, he was living with Michal and never touched her. That mitzvah he was having, he's losing that mitzvah. It was no longer going to be present for him anymore. That's what he was crying about. Amazing. So then the Pasuk describes Paltiel and all his great self-control. It says, Ad Bechurim Shinasa Shneim, Ad Bechurim, the Bachar, that they were young. What's going on here? Shinasu Shneim Ki Bechurim Shil Tamu Tam Bia. They were like young people who never tasted beer, that they never had any taiva for this. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan will finish off with his last piece here. Tokfa She Yosef An Vanasundo Shosha Boaz. The strength of Yosef, the greatness of Yosef, was a small matter for Boaz with respect to Boaz. Meaning Boaz had more self-control than Yosef. Yosef, what he did was a nothing to what Boaz was able to accomplish. And Tokah Shaboaz, that which was hard for Boaz, was Anvasnuso Shalipalti Ben Laish, was something very small matter for what Palti Ben, what he accomplished. What do you mean? Tokah Shaboaz was Anvasnuso Shalboaz. Yosef was one event with Eshet Potiphar, but when it came to Boaz, what he had to, self-control that he had, v'hi b'chatzi alayla, v'yachar da'ish v'ilapes, v'yilapes, in the middle of the night, and he became v'ilapes, what v'ilapes? Amar Rav Shanasa b'sarok kirashi lifto, so the top of the lefes is very hard, so Rashi explains here, kirashi lifto, Niskasha, he was aroused off of Pike and Kavash Yitzro. In that moment, he was able to be Kavash his Yitzro and have tremendous self-control. Vava Pisha Penuya Hayasa, she was single. Vima Bamita, and she was with him in the same bed. Still, nonetheless, he had self-control. As opposed to Vav Yosef, Eishas Eish Hayasa, Veina Ima Bamita. She was married, so that was going to scare Yosef a little bit. They weren't in the same bed, so it wasn't as much of a taiva for Yosef, so what he accomplished wasn't as great as what Boaz accomplished. But now, with respect to that, Tokva Shaboaz, the strength to overcome the self-control that Boaz had, that was simply on Vasanusa Shapalti Ben Laish Kedamrim, because he was mamish living with her every single day, which is much harder, and he put a sword in between. That was the godless Palti Ben Laish, who earned the name Paltiel. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.